Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Happy New Year to you. Oh, no. Happy New Year to you. I forgot. We're brown. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. Ooh, child. I forgot. That's the brown version.
Call that a code switch. Happy that was a quick code switch.
Oh, my gosh. We have amazing news. I'm going to let Mandy say it because
You know, numbers aren't always important, but we had one number in mind for 2019, and that was 1 million because we have been dying to hit 1 million downloads in a year. And this was our very first year. And you guys, we did it. Over 1 million downloads in 2019. And that is such a huge accomplishment. Our show is like the little show that could. You guys know we've been doing it for 4.5 years now. And it has been entirely word of mouth. Tiffany and I are too busy to be doing any kind of investment in marketing, like marketing and pushing our show. But you guys have been so supportive and we continue building our listenership. And it's just, it's beautiful. I love it. So thank you guys. 1 million. Woohoo.
Yes, 1 million. 1 million. Yeah. So honestly, that was awesome. When you told me, Mandy, I was like, what? So yeah, thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome.
I was sweating it. It was like 997,634 on like December 21st. So I was like, Tiffany, can you share our show real quick? I'm afraid people will not be downloading over the holidays, but you guys came through huge, huge surge at the end of the year. So so excited. So can we do 2 milli in 2020?
Yeah. I think so. Two? Yeah, I think so.
Why not?
It's already ordained.
Yeah. I could have said 20 milli, but let's just, you know, we talk about doable goals here. Why not double it in 2020?
Exactly. So many things have changed. We have a baby, Mandy.
Thank you. We finally have a Brown Ambition baby. Yes.
Oh, how's the baby?
Oh, he is, you know, a lot of work. That is what he is. He's adorable. He's adorable. He's very cute. He's very, you know, ungrateful for all the work we do. That's how I feel. I'm telling you, like the face that he gets at like 2-3, the crazy hours in the morning, just staring at me and sticking that damn tongue out, like feed me, woman. That will haunt me forever. But
and let me tell you, they don't get any less ungrateful because just this morning, Superman and Supergirl were fussing. She's 13 now. The ungratefulness never stops because apparently we are here to accommodate her and all the things.
Two weeks after Christmas, get out of here.
I mean, when I tell you, he was like, "Did you brush your teeth?" She's like, "I think that you're bothering me a little bit too early in the morning." He said, "To brush your teeth?"
She sounds like my husband, but
Oh my gosh, so it doesn't. Yeah, it can't stop, won't stop. You know, kids never get. I don't think kids get grateful until they're like fully grown. So
I can't. Just so you know. Well, I am definitely grateful for my family who've, you know, come and visited, and it's been a crazy. So it's been 6 weeks since we had the baby. Thank you guys for all of your beautiful messages and all the love. His name is Rio Francisco. If you haven't heard. I really fought hard for that name, and I hope I don't regret it, but I still love it.
I hate you, Mandy.
I fought hard. Listen, pushing that child out of my nether, I swear to God, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. And the last 6 weeks have been the hardest weeks of my entire life, but I am alive and we are surviving, and my husband's been amazing. We've had so much support from our family. And you know, we're doing it. We're surviving, which is, if anyone out there has a newborn, I've got some messages from people who have like 4 weeks old and 8 week old babies. And, it's crazy, but,
I'm grateful that I'm alive and we're still doing the show. And I got a 3-hour nap today, so I feel like
A new woman, right?
A new woman. Yes, the things I can do with 3 to 4 hours of sleep, I have now realized. I can like pretty much save the world is how I feel right now. Grandpa, my dad's downstairs right now watching him, and things have been, I've got 6 more weeks. This is what's stressing me out. So Enrique went back to work today. Husband's back at work. So tomorrow, if my dad goes back, I am on my own officially for the first time, solo through the whole day with the baby. So wish me luck. And I've got 6 to 7 more weeks of mat leave. And if you guys have any, I don't know. All I'm praying for is that by the end of this next 6 weeks, he is like sleeping through the night, because I am stressed about, well, not stressed, because I'm trying not to stress too much and just enjoy, you know, these early days. But I just think, like, what is it going to be like these, if I'm up every hour and a half through the night and then have to go back to work? Like, what, how do y'all do that? New moms? Like, how does that work?
Yes. Please give Mandy some, I honestly don't know.
Just tell me there's another side to this is how I feel. But so that was my entire holiday, was just baby, baby, baby. So have you been? What's looking good for you in 2020?
I've been good. Honestly, this was like probably one of the most chill holidays I had. It was our first Christmas in the new house. And it was really nice. I mean, I went crazy decorating. I don't know if anybody saw my IG tours where I showed you that.
I missed them. Ooh, I want to see.
I had a roof. Well, this was like a while ago. I had a wreath on every single door. And according to Supergirl, quote unquote, I'm doing too much, which is just enough if you ask me.
According to my Midwestern heritage, that is just enough, if not enough.
I know. But honestly, it was really nice because I didn't really do any work. It was nice hanging out with family, friends. Thanksgiving, my sister, Karen, she's the oldest, and her baby, Lily, and her husband, they came down. So it was the first time in years that all of us were together. So all the sisters, all the nieces and the nephews, my mom, my dad, and then Superman's family, we were all together for Thanksgiving. So that was super awesome. Honestly, it's been great and pretty chill. And we've been gearing up for my next new venture, which is my children's book, Molly Moore. It's finally literally done. And now we're just working on the marketing campaign to roll it out. So y'all should see Molly Moore in the early spring. But I've been really thinking about it. I'm going to do a Kickstarter campaign for Molly Moore because a few things I want to do. Because after doing some more research on like children and books, I realized that like the statistics for children from low income communities and books is really bad. It's like 61% do not have access to books, and not having access to books sets you up for a very hard life, because books are not just about literacy. It's about comprehension. It's about exploring your horizons. Books help with counting. Books help with STEM. And so if you don't have books, you know, it just puts you in a really bad state. And I just thought, I want to continuously be able to use proceeds from the sale to of Molly Moore, the first book and any book that comes after, to provide books to communities with children from low income environments. Because if you can start a home library, that could totally transform the trajectory of your life. Even if your parents struggled, even if your parents didn't graduate high school or college or whatever, that having a home library can actually turn some of those statistics around. So so I'm excited. Plus two, that. I think. Yeah, it's, go ahead.
No, I'm just the idea. I keep thinking about that girl. Was she from Jersey, Marley Diaz, who started Well-Read Black Girls, or?
It's 1,000 Black Girl Books. Yeah, Janice is a friend of mine. Her mom has a nonprofit that when I first was starting the Budgetista, I used to volunteer for that nonprofit all the time. So I'm like, yeah, I know them well. They live 2 towns over.
Okay, well, if you need a social media influencer, Marley, I'm just saying, I'm seeing some synergies here. Or she could, like, you know, be the voice of Molly Moore, the audiobook. I don't know. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm going to add it to Rio's library.
I'm excited. I'll send you a nice box. So I'm just, honestly, I'm excited because it's just a new venture and I just feel really good about it. Plus two, like, high key, I'm really trying to make sure that your kids have financial education in their life, even if you don't know how. Because that's the thing, right? Most parents, if you didn't learn money at home, then you're like, well, how am I supposed to teach my kid? And so with Molly Moore books, there at the end, there are extending lessons and questions to really help to drive that home, because every book has what I call pre-financial education lessons, which is like counting, math, learning about giving, learning about service, learning about community. These are the foundation for financial education. So it's age appropriate for 3 to 7 year olds. And so then I show you, how do you extend that lesson as a teacher, or as a parent, or aunt or uncle? So it's like everyone gets to learn. So yeah, it's just, I feel like everything that I've worked toward has built up to this, that the Budget Nista was not the end goal, that truly it's this, because I really believe, you know, I'm a teacher at heart. And so to be able to teach financial education from like early stages on throughout with all that I do with my life, I think it's just, so I just think it's like my life's calling. I know that like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And wait till y'all see this. She is so beautiful. Wait till you see Molly Moore. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be dropping. I'll be dropping the book cover, so you can get excited. Oh, if you haven't already, she has a, if you want a sneak peek, actually, I have not shared this anywhere, but I do have an Instagram page for Molly Moore. It's M-A-L-I, like the African country, underscore Moore, M-O-R-E. So at Molly, M-A-L-I, underscore Moore. And you can take a sneak peek of the cover. Please follow the page. I'll be doing updates and stuff there. So you, I posted the cover. I might delete it, so hurry up, because I was like, I was just testing out if I was able to post on a different Instagram page. So take a look while you can.
Okay, well, at least give them until the show airs.
Yeah.
Don't delete it tonight. I have some angry listeners. So exciting. So is that your 20? I'm just thinking about my plans for 2020, which is hard for me to see anywhere past going back to work right now, but mention like kids and finances. It's also like with parenting, of course I have a 6-week-old, so all he needs is poop and, you know, food. That's all he cares about. But it's also like, when do you introduce concepts of finance and what's appropriate for a child? That's what I'm like wondering. How early is too early? Should I even worry about it until, you know, they're, you know, what, like what age, and what age is appropriate, and like how much you cover, and, you know, cause you don't want to like, I don't want my, you know, I've talked about before, like there was financial insecurity and financial anxiety in my household that I don't think my parents intended to make it that way. But, you know, you just, I absorbed all of that energy. And what I'm trying to change, like flip the script, is to sort of create financial positivity, because I think my own fears and anxieties around finances really held me back. Especially when it came to trying things like investing and even just saving. Like I live from this mindset of like money is evil, and money, you know, if you have money, then you're greedy, you know, and people who have money are like, you know, there's like a, there's just so much negativity around it. And I had to change my own mindset. And I just want to have a household where it is an empowering thing, and you know, we use it for good and we use it to grow. And you know what I'm trying to say? And
no,
and
I do.
And I just a lot don't of parents know what the roadmap is for that.
I'll say, like, you know, as a former preschool teacher, I'll say that typically around the age of 3, sometimes as early as 2, because like my niece Amelia is 2 and she's speaking. And so, but what pre-financial education looks like, I would say 2 to 4 is not, this is a dollar. This is how you use it. That's not what that is. It's Amelia, you don't want to share with Roman? Roman is my her brother, and he's 4. So pre-financial education lessons are like, they look more like morality lessons, like sharing and mine versus yours and more and less. You know what I mean? Pre-financial education lessons are also, it's also numbers and counting. So you're likely going to be doing a lot of that anyway, but intentionally.
I forgot all about counting. That's important.
And people don't realize that even when it comes to counting, like for example, Molly Moore, the book, it rhymes. And it seems like, oh, that's cute, it rhymes. No, that it was intentional for it to rhyme, because rhyming is a precursor to counting, right? Because think about it, like if you can go, or even just keeping a beat, right? So if you can do like cat, bat, sat, that's like what I'm showing you is that each of those individual things are like one beat. So now you could say 1, 2, 3. And then, so when I was teaching, that's one of the reasons why the ABC song has like this kind of like rhythm to it, because what we're really teaching children is like this like spatial relation in their mind. A, B, C, then 1, 2, 3. Then what is one? Oh, this is one apple. Oh, this is what 2 apples look like. So everything kind of built on top of each other. But That's what it looks like. It looks like by two, like, you know, singing songs. It looks like, you know, by three, teaching them about sharing and giving, and not everything belongs to you. So that's something Amelia's having a very hard time with right now, right? And then by four, it looks like taking responsibility. So Roman is in preschool. And so at four, he will have a school job. Most preschoolers have like a school job, meaning that like there's usually like a little board where it says his name. And then Roman sets the table, or he picks up the blocks today, whatever. So he's learning responsibility. Like, this is what I'm responsible for. So that's a pre-financial education lesson. And what I did is I took it further. And this is what I plan to do when I have my Bambinos. I took it further in that not only is that your quote unquote school job, but I'm going to pay you at four or five. You can start to do that. I'm going to give you Monopoly money. And for a job done, you get a dollar. For a job well done, you get two. And if you don't do it, you don't get any money. And then by four and five, you can create, this is what I used to do with my classroom. We would create savings boxes with shoe boxes. And we would talk about what does it mean to save? And what are some of the things they like? Oh, I like candy. I like this. Do you know how much those things cost? And, you know, like sometimes mommy and daddy, they or auntie and uncle, you see them with money. What does that mean? So now you have a job at school. I'm paying you this money, and you're going to be putting it every day into your savings box. And then every Friday, I would go to like the dollar store and get like little tchotchkes. And then they would buy the things that they wanted from with their savings box money, because I was teaching them this correlation between work, a job well done, savings, spending. There would be things in the store that would be more than what they could possibly make in a week. Because if you got paid $2 a week maximum, that's $10 for the week. So there would be things in the store that were $15. You know, maybe I'd make a teddy bear $15. And they would have to learn that some kids had to figure out, well, if I really want this teddy bear, then that means I don't get anything this week. And learning even that was like, some kids, no matter what, they spent all their money every single week. And you got some kids that understood, if I want this teddy bear, I'm going to have to not spend anything this week and then save it for next week. So you see how it builds on top of each other? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think when he's really, really little, it's just really singing and counting and rhythm and rhyme and then learning how to share, and that everything does not belong to you, and less and more.
And like, you'll no be fine. Screaming matches with mommy and daddy, like over the kitchen table about Bill's got it.
And also, easy too, like, enough. I'll say this, that I grew up in a household. My dad did a great job teaching us about money in a way that I wasn't afraid. It was the recession that taught me fear, not my parents, because my dad was very matter of fact. So he didn't give money any extra energy. It just was, hey, by the way, you know, this thing happened. And so I'm sharing with you what happened. So your mom lost her job. Oh, no, it'll be fine. You know, your mom is smart. She's going to find another one. But it means that, you know, jobs pay money and Christmas is coming and gifts cost money. What does that mean? It just means that we're going to have Christmas in January instead of December. Oh, OK. But there was never any inflection of this is some bad, terrible thing. It just was. And I think that was probably the best thing he could do versus making money a good or bad thing. It was just a neutral thing. And he was just kind of like sharing the news. And so that's how he approached money when he was teaching us about it. Like, the light bill is too high. That's the news. What can we do? And so because of that, I grew up with a really healthy relationship with money. Like I said, the recession totally took me out because it just was such a devastating time. But I was able to go back to or close to my healthy relationship with money because I had that foundation. So that's another thing, too. I think as parents, not giving money emotional energy. It just it's a thing. It's a tool. It's not the goal itself.
Yeah. And for me, my first and foremost goal is to, I don't know why I was overthinking a little bit how to start saving for Rio. And I'm just, all I've decided to do is just open up a Roth IRA right now, like a custodial IRA, and just start putting money in it each month. And like, don't stress about what I'm investing and just get some mutual funds and just do it. Cause like, something is better than nothing. I know we've gotten questions from parents, over the years we've been doing the show on how the best way to save, and is it 529 versus Roth IRA. The only reason I decided to go with the Roth IRA is just because it's a lot more flexible and I don't necessarily have to use the money on college expenses. So if something were to happen and we needed to tap into it earlier, it just seemed like, the better option. And also 529 seemed a little, like, I understand Roth IRAs, I understand how to open one up and how to choose investments, and maybe because 529s, I'm a little less familiar with it, just the idea of needing to research that space and find the right account and all that seems like it takes more energy. And right now I'm just like, done is better than perfect, and a Roth IRA makes sense, and I can easily just open one up alongside my Vanguard account, and call it a day. And then number two, my goal is life insurance. Because for those of you who have, I've always had my insurance through my employer, but you can't really take that with you, and it gets harder to, well, life insurance gets more expensive as you get older. So some people recommend getting your own life insurance policy. Also, it's only a certain amount, so it may not be enough for, to really sustain your family if something were to happen to you. So I have started to shop around for life insurance, and fortunately, there are sites like Value Penguin, Quote Wizard, Policy Genius that make it pretty simple to shop for life insurance. I've honestly found I used all three of those to try and find to start shopping for a policy. They kind of gave me the exact same company, so I don't know if it's probably based on where you live, what's available to you, but it seems pretty simple. And that's starting to that to me is one of the more important things, is like if something were to happen to me, I want to be sure that he is okay and that, there's no change to his luxurious lifestyle in the suburb.
Yeah, I'm telling you, insurance is definitely like this critical,
Right.
obviously, thing that
Forget the
you're wanting to.
onesies and the toys and all that crap. Life insurance, yes.
Yeah, it's crazy how like things that are important to you, like when you're older, when you're like, who cares about insurance? And now you're like, ah, baby.
I care. My baby. I just want him to be okay. Listen, I got this book called Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts. I highly recommend it to anybody out there. If you need a gift for a new mom in your life, it is amazing. Because honestly, the first thing you think about is, what if I die? What if husband dies? It's dark, but it's true. And you have this real urge to like protect and to set, your child up for success if you weren't to be here. And then of course you cry a little bit, and then it's all the emotions. But yeah, that's the goal. That's my little baby goals for 2020. And career-wise, I don't even freaking know. I just need stability for the next, several months. Hopefully I can get back into a flow with work. And I'll share with, you guys on how that's going. Just I'm yeah, anyway, let me just get through the next 6, 7 weeks,
Yeah,
being
just look
home
for that.
first. Yeah.
I would say like I haven't really set any professional goals. I'm actually having a vision board party next weekend. I have one like every year, usually it's like my
Oh,
sisters and like
okay.
one or two friends.
Maybe I should do a vision board.
Yeah, I just because it's less for the like the mushy thingy for vision for the board itself, and more so it forces me in the moment to really kind of pull out what is it, how is it do you see your life unfolding this year. So it really helps me to pull out of myself, because I'm like spending this moment, this time to do so. I would say, personally, I feel like in the best place I have in a long time personally, like great family, great friends. Like I'm for the first time in, I don't know, in my adult life, every single one of my core relationships is in a good space, like parents, friends, family. Like, the people I interact with regularly, it feels awesome. You don't realize that that's not true until you start like working on things. You're like, oh, I could really be better with Supergirl. We should hang out more. Oh, I could really like call my mom more. But I'm in a good space with everything. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't. Wow, this feels awesome. There is no internal dread when it comes to any of my core relationships, which is great. And then professionally, I really think that Molly Moore, because the book is going to be about $22 a book, I think, give or take, because we're going to be doing some of that money will be going toward donating books. But I really think I did the math, like what would it take for Molly Moore to make 7 figures in its first year? And it's about 46,000 books, I think I did the math, which I think we could do. I'm like, I've got a pretty good size audience, 46,000 times 22. Yeah, I think
Once
that
you
we
have
could
like
do.
half a million dream catchers, get out of here.
Yeah, well,
Easy
that
peasy.
everybody doesn't, buy. So, but I think that that would be crazy to be like, I'm like, wow, if I can make Molly Moore get to 7 figures in its first year. But I think the biggest thing that I really want to accomplish professionally by the end of the year is, and now it's more than feasible, it's gonna happen, is that I've been saying for since December 2018, my team and I set forth what we call our big audacious goals, and the one of them was to get the get the team on average to six figures a year, meaning that some of the team members that like our lead team member might make, or lead team members might make 250, and then maybe customer support just coming in, entry level team member might make $25 an hour, which is about equivalent to about $25,000 a year. So how do we get that range? You know, like, what does that look like, and how much does the companies have, how much do the companies have to make? And I was talking to my CFO today, our new CFO, shout out to Shanta. She's amazing. And
wasn't this going to be your boost?
No, I'm going to do a different boost.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. I just wanted to stop you in case, because I'm like, we need to do a whole segment. It needs to be a thing. Okay.
No. And so I'm excited that, like, because I thought before, like, I would have to make like $20 million a year, which I think we'll get there, but I don't know that by the end of this year. And she was like, no, she's like, I've done the math. And quite honestly, basically everyone would have to, well, I'll just give the number. So for, I have three core companies. It's the Literature Academy, which makes the most. The Literature Academy would have to make, I think she said $6.5 million. And so last year, 2019, we made like 3.5. So basically double, which we've been doubling. So that's not crazy. I was like, okay, great. The Budgetista would have to make 1.5 million. So the Budgetista, I call it the poor, my poor neglected baby, in that the Budgetista is like Tiffany hitting the road. It's like speaking. And so I don't do that as much. So I think the Budgetista maybe pulled in, I want to say 700,000 last year of like speaking and books and things like that. So us making 1.5 is more than feasible, especially since Molly Moore is under the Budgetista. So if Molly Moore just by itself brings in seven figures and the Budgetista brings in 500,000, which would be less than we made in 2019, we'll be more than on track. And then my marketing company, which was super neglected. The marketing company is just our internal marketing company. Companies come to us and say, hey, we see you love our thing, share our thing, and we'll pay you per person that signs up. And so with that, that company was actually in the negative, because although we made, I want to say maybe 250,000 or something to that effect, but we spent more because of marketing itself, like paying for ads and things, and then staff. So that company, I just said, if we can get to a positive, maybe like 50 or 60,000, I'll be happy with that company. Cause that company drives a lot of the other things that we do. So on its own, we don't look for it to be a big money maker, but making 6.5 in one company and 1.5 in another, that's more than feasible, because it's, like I said, we've already been doubling our income. So we're right in alignment. And the goal, when we made the big audacious goals in 2018, the goal was always by the end of 2020 to get to that big goal of six figures per person, like on average, depending on like what role you have. So the fact that we're like within range, I'm like, yay, because I mean, I know the people who work for our team, they don't work on our team for the money, because I don't pay what I call a competitive salary yet. Because just because your company makes a lot of money, there are a lot of expenses. And now with this, we can pay a competitive salary, like what you would make, maybe even more than what you would make at, like, if you were to be working at a similar company. And so I can't wait by the end of the year to be able to get my team to that, because they are amazing. They deserve. And I want that, you know, like, I know they're here for the love, but I want them to know that, you know, like, if you go someplace else, you would still be making the same amount of money, and they won't even love you as much as I do. So I'm excited about that. Like, that's my big, big, big push for 2020. Businesses, whew, child, it's just when you're just like, you think you figured it out, you're like, what now? Some months you're just like, what? We did what? And other months you're like, oh my God. Like, we have a loss. I didn't know. I was like, what? The marketing company didn't make no money. Yes, we did. They're like, you spent more than you made. I'm like, so.
Well, for those of you who listened to one of our, I think one of our best shows of the year was one of our last shows. That was actually our last real new show of the year was, you know, we talked with Tiffany in November. And if you guys want to go back, it's episode 198. Check it out. I interviewed Tiffany about basically how did she start the Budgetista, the real story. And when did she start making money? And how did she start making money? And I mean, those early days when you were making $50 a pop for at-home financial budgeting sessions. And to, you know, now you're like employing how many staff? Like, your business is how has grown so much? I mean,
It has been. It's been 10 years of a long journey. Don't let these people fool you that. Don't get me wrong. There are definitely people who are like, boom, year one, year two, they're making a million or whatever. But that's just not the average story, you know, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be the average story. It's like somebody losing 20 pounds in 2 weeks. Some people do that, but most people are literally losing a half a pound to a pound a week, which is normal. And so I just want to normalize the process that it's good, it's hard, but it's possible, but it's typically not going to take you. Like, for example, this is what somebody will say. Molly Moore is likely to make $1 million his first year out. So the deceptive me will say, I wouldn't do this, but this is what somebody would say. Oh my God, my business made $1 million its first year. But you and I both know that Molly Moore is only going to make that $1 million its first year because of 10 years of the Budgetista. And so it looks like, oh, this new venture on its own is making this money. But that's not really true. It's all of these years of work that led to the ability of this company to make this amount of money in its mm-hmm. first year. And so that's what you're not seeing oftentimes in some of these people who are sharing that something that they created is making a ton of money right away. But yeah, because they've had previous businesses or previous work that'll set them up for that success. So your 10 years starts now if you haven't started already. So get to it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the tip of the iceberg situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Oof, 2020 is going to be the year. All right, guys, be back in just a minute. We'll take your first questions of 2020. Be right back.
Hey, 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 BA fam, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed. It's question time. I don't have my normal Usher question, so I'm going to find a new song that has the word questions in it so I can annoy you guys with that song instead. So for now, it's question time.
Love it. Well, I went old school, you guys. Checked my email inbox because we had a ton of questions come in over the holiday. You guys were busy thinking about your finances in 2020. So let's see. Let's remind folks, how do you send us a question? Hit us up, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can go to Instagram and find us at Brown Ambition Podcast on the gram. Send us a DM there. Be sure to keep your questions succinct in the gram. It is very hard to scroll and scroll and scroll and read and read and read. But I love that you guys are sending us more questions there. Also, our website is still around. You can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click Ask Us Anything. All right. Our first question of 2020, no pressure, comes from listener Anna, who has a question about investing. Here's what she says. So far, Anna has $33,000 in online savings, $10,000 she's saving for a car in the future, $14,000 she's earmarked for emergencies, $8,500 for repairs, vacation, and investing, and also $135,000. Is she trying to make us jealous? $135,000 in a 401k from my previous employer. Oh, and an additional $3,000 in Elevest. So I'm sorry. Where are the problems here, Miss Anna? She says, obviously, I'm a super saver, but I need to invest. My question is, do you two think I'm covered with savings and can start investing with money I will earn? Or do you think I should invest with some of the money I've already saved? If the latter, where should I take the money from? Please note, I am 39 years old and married with a dual income of about $80,000 annually. That's really impressive with that. Yeah. With a dual income of $80,000, she's 39 years old and has, let me do the math real quick, 30K in online savings, 10K, 33K. Oh, that includes 10K and then 14. About $170,000 she's managed to save. That is fantastic. So $33,000 of that she's got in a, like a regular bank account, online bank account, in savings. Let's just assume it's online. So she's earning like 1% to be safe. Mm-hmm. And then she's got $135K in a 401k from a previous employer. So she wants to know, basically, should she start tapping into that 33K and investing with that? Or should she just start investing with her future earnings? And on top of that, she's dabbled a little bit. It sounds like she's got $3,000 in Elevest, which mm-hmm. we've talked about Elevest before. It's a, it's one of these new kind of robo advisor, mm-hmm. funds, but it targets women specifically. Women. Yeah.
So it's, I think I want to be clear. What was her name? Anna?
Anna. Yep.
So I want to be clear, Anna, like, you know, your money in Elevest and your money in your 401k. Sometimes people don't think about retirement as invested, like invested funds. Those are invested funds. So, mm-hmm. you know, that just to be clear, the only funds that are not invested from what I can hear is the savings, the 33,000.
Yep, exactly.
You know, so I would challenge you to look holistically at your finances, because it sounds like to me that you are already saving for retirement. If you're putting away your prerequisite of like 10 to 15% toward retirement, you don't necessarily have to boost that up. But it sounds like you're kind of doing that already. I would look to see, am I insured enough? To Mandy's point, like earlier, I don't know if you have children, but that was one of the things when I sat down with my financial planner, I was severely underinsured because I set my insurance when I was in my 20s and I never kind of did anything else. And she's like, girl, you are not 22 anymore. You need more insurance. So one, make sure that you have like enough insurance. So like homeowners insurance, if you have a home, renter's insurance, if you don't, do you have enough of insurance for life insurance? Should something happen to yourself or your spouse. So really looking at your insurance, am I fully insured? And then if you are not setting aside 10, and honestly, because you're a woman, I would say upwards of 15% away for retirement, you can start doing that with some of that 33%. Because I don't think, I'm not sure what you do for a living, you don't need more typically than more than 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved liquid like that as cash. Because you're really losing money when you're not investing money. I think that's, I wish people understood that more. I didn't at first. That money in a savings account is literally losing, because if for every dollar, they're giving you 1 cent, but because of the, something called inflation, which means the devaluing of money, that money can't do as much as it used to every year. Inflation is about 3%. So for every dollar, you're gaining one, but losing three. So that leaves you at a 2-penny loss for every dollar for that money you have saved. So that means that yet $33,000 is worth less and less over time. So I don't want you to keep so much money liquid. Like I had way too much money liquid. And so.
Yeah. And just a reminder. So of that 33K, she's earmarking 10K for it to buy a car. So buy a car cash. Okay. 14K she's earmarked for those emergencies. And she's got 8,500 that she's thinking of using for investing, but also it's kind of her vacation fund. So with that 8.5K, I mean, she's got, it sounds like she knows, okay, I have too much in my savings account. It's time to kind of break this up. I don't know. Would you take money out of that savings, or would you have her like keep 33K in the bank? Because I was just doing some quick math. So she's got $80,000 of income, combined with her husband, or partner right now. So if you're following that, 6 months worth of income, kind of. Well, 6 months worth of expenses. Yeah. I mean, 14K could be, plenty for emergencies. And she could take that, let's say break off a piece of that 8.5K and save that for vacations and, have a recurring savings to keep that funded. And I feel like she has enough to just go ahead and max out like an IRA. What is the mm-hmm. annual contribution in 2020? I don't want to mess it up. It's usually around like 6,000, right?
It was six. So let's see what it is, because she's the max IRA contribution 2020. Because you're right, because every year it's different. It is. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, well, it doesn't say. Oh, you mean Roth IRA?
Yeah, Roth. Sorry. Well, no, an IRA, probably. Roth, whatever. Yeah, I guess Roth.
It is six. 6,000. Yep, it's still 6,000.
Okay. So, I mean, you could start, you can take 3,000, get that half invested, and then, you know, set up savings to max it out through the end of the year. But that's an additional way to invest. But on top of that, like Tiffany said, you've got over $100,000 in your 401k. Make sure that you're well diversified and that, you know, your money's growing at a rate that seems reasonable, and you're not, I don't know what you're invested in, obviously. But you know, being 39, you can still heavily invest in stocks. You have you have a long time horizon. So take a look at what you're invested in your 401k and make sure that it's diversified properly for your age and your time horizon. And that 3K in Elevest, that's all well and good. Maybe you want to take that, you know, and start adding a little bit to that as well. But
And look into target date funds when it comes to your, because I feel like you should always invest for retirement. So I would invest for retirement like fairly conservatively based upon, like, you know, my age, yada, yada. So I invest, I think, about 20% because I'm an entrepreneur. And then anything above that, then I have Angeli, my financial planner, invest for wealth. And so investing for wealth is we're a little bit more aggressive than I would be because I'm 40. Right. So that means, like, okay, retirement is taken care of. And God forbid this wealth investment doesn't work out, I'm not going to eat cat food because I've invested for retirement. So I would consider, like, looking into, like, what is investing for wealth and what it might look like. You know, maybe that's a target date fund. And you could do target date funds through your through like a Roth IRA. That's just you pick a date that you're going to want to take this money out, and it kind of balances itself for you every year versus how much money it has invested in, like, a more conservative vehicle like bonds or a more aggressive vehicle like stocks. And every year you get closer to the target date, your investments become more and more conservative, so you can preserve the capital, the money that you put in. So I think you're in a good spot. It sounds like to me from that eight, you probably have a good, because vacation shouldn't cost more than like $2,000. You probably have a good 6,000 to Mandy's point, just open up a Roth IRA and throw it in there, or add to where you have Elevest, or maybe, I don't know that I would just be investing in loose stocks. If you have not done that before, but definitely putting $6,000 toward investing in something is a good idea.
Yeah. All right, Anna, thank you very much for your question. Let's keep this financial advice theme going. And just as a reminder, of course, Tiffany and I are not investment advisors. We're not professional financial planners. So, you know, consult your own experts for expertise. We're just telling you what we might do based on our shared experience and what little details you guys share with us. So hopefully we got...
Sue your mama, not us.
Well, your mama?
No, not your mama, your grandmama.
Sue anybody but us. All right, let's take a question from listener... Am I going to pronounce this right? Is it Shun? Oh, anonymous. Okay. Anonymous listener. She says, I'm assuming it's a she. I'm a new listener and have really enjoyed catching up on your show. Thank you for all your do. My family, my husband, and we have a toddler, and I have had a lot of change in the past year. We moved from Phoenix to North Carolina. Everybody's moving to North Carolina. We have new jobs, a new house, and I was recently laid off from my job earlier this year. I was without work for 6 months, and thankfully I just found a new job, but we're now feeling the effects of the financial hit we took this summer. And we're thinking we'd like to start working with a financial planner, especially before we start on baby number two. Do you two use a fee or no fee financial planner, and why? Great question. That's a huge, huge year, plus a job loss. My God. So, I mean, congrats for coming through it. And I'm glad that you finally have a new job and, oh my God, baby number two. So I personally have fee or no fee financial planner. There's not really a thing as a no fee financial planner. But there's fee based and fee only. So there's planners. It's basically, the difference is how they charge their fee. Yeah. So some planners, especially if they help you invest, they might add an additional percentage, like, and take a little bit off your returns on the investments that they recommend for you, or they put your savings and investments into. And then you have some planners who will just charge you a flat fee for every time you have a conversation with them, or every time they make, you know, put together a financial plan for you. You know, there's some planners you can go to them and just say, you know, I want a retirement plan, a financial plan, which is usually what financial plans are. They're like a retirement plan. And that can cost, you know, I don't know, $1,000, $1,200. It depends on the planner. You just pay one fee and that's it.
if you want ongoing investment advice, you're probably looking at someone who may take a little bit of a percentage of your returns, or someone who just charges, again, a flat fee for their services. I don't have anyone managing my investments, so I've always just used a fee-only financial planner. And basically the way that it works is every time we schedule a call with this planner, she charges us a flat fee. For me, it's been about $200, depending on the contents of the call and how much we're going to cover and how much she's going to do for us. And that works for me because we meet when we want to meet. So honestly, I think we had maybe 3 meetings last year. I haven't talked to her in a while.
This is Helen, right?
Yeah, Helen. We've interviewed Helen on the show before. Yeah.
She's awesome.
I just didn't want to quote her fee because I've used her for a while now and I'm sure she's more expensive as everyone is raising their rates.
And also too, it all depends like what. So when I was interviewing folks, I used to have the fee base, which is I didn't have the money when I first started off to pay anyone out of pocket. So I didn't really pay out of pocket. Well, sometimes you could pay out of the pocket for the initial plan. And that's sometimes around like $1,000 to $1,200 for the initial plan. But then I didn't pay like for the quarterly meeting or anything like that. They were my original financial planners were getting paid percentage of my portfolio. But then once I had enough money to pay someone, I switched over to fee only. And so now I have Angeli. So I interviewed a ton of people. And I interviewed, so actually my top three, it was Angeli, it was Helen. I interviewed like 20 people, Angeli, Helen, and another young woman that were my top three. But I ended up choosing Angeli because she specifically focused on people who had multiple businesses. And everyone else, that wasn't like one of their core focuses. And so I was looking for someone who, yes, is going to help my husband and I as a couple, but then also the fact that like, okay, Tiffany's got 3 businesses and what does that look like? Because I also too want to like be able to offer my employees like benefits and things like that. And Angeli, that's something that she does as well. So you're wanting to make sure that whoever you're choosing, that you share kind of like your holistic like financial life, because that way they can understand like, are you someone that I can help? Like if you're a teacher, there are literally financial planners that I interviewed that focus on teachers, or some that focused on doctors and lawyers. So there's a great number out there, but I pay Angeli a lump sum fee because there's just so much going on that I had to unpack, a lump sum fee for the year that I pay monthly. And we meet in the beginning, we were meeting like every month to get like, it took like, I want to say 5 months to get all the paperwork together. So me, her and my husband and her admin, we met every month. And as things like slow down, we probably will still be meeting at least 4 or 5, maybe even 6 times this year, because there's still a lot to unpack. And then after that, it'll settle into like quarterly. But yeah, and it was not cheap. I mean, I don't know if you guys want me to share them out. How do you feel about that? I mean, I don't
mind. I always want the numbers. Tell us how much you spent. If you're comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, you know me, girl. I'll be telling all my business. So it was, but it's also, I can write this off because she's helping the business. It's $15,000 for the year. Now, normally you'd be like, no way, but because I can write it off, I spoke with Carlos, I spoke with Angeli, it's a business expense. Because a large part of what she's doing, like, so Angeli, I actually was just reading an email between her, so Angeli, the financial planner, Carlos, who's what I call my big accountant, and Shanta, who is my CFO, my chief financial officer. So they're constantly talking and making decisions financially that benefit the company, myself, all of that. So to me, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know that I would have jumped out the window for $15,000 if it was Tiffany, just purely out of my pocket. But because it was like a company expense that the company can shoulder. But when I tell you, it's paid for itself times 10. I was really like, she was literally the most expensive. At every I interviewed, she was the most expensive, but it has paid for itself already. It's been an amazing experience. So
yeah, and that's a totally different kind of financial planning than someone like, you know, someone who's just like, oh, me, my husband, my family, you know, it's like a business financial planning package. That's interesting. I mean, and that sounds like, I don't know, sounds reasonable. Not having a business myself sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, but like looking for, here's what I'll say, that as you look for a financial planner, the thing that really helped, or financial advisor, the difference between a financial planner, they typically holistically at your life. Like Angelique was gathering, like, girl, this insurance, do you want to leave them with nothing? I'm like, no. So she's looking at everything. And then typically a financial advisor is really helping you specifically with like investments typically. So like, and they're typically selling you things like your, you know, like my insurance, like Angelique doesn't sell anything. So she will advise that here's the kind of insurance that you should get. You want me to suggest some, but you need to buy it and then come back to me and show me that you purchased it. So Angelique doesn't sell me anything. I've already purchased her advice, not her a particular service. I mean, well, not a particular product, which is like what financial advisors usually do. They usually have like products to sell, which there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that really helped me was I created this doc. And honestly, I'm going to create like, I keep saying this because everybody keeps asking. I'm going to create like a template of this doc that I created, Manny, that was so great in that I put all of our financial business on there. My husband and I, like our dreams, our goals, how much we make, how much we have it, if we had any debt, you know, anything, just everything. But I organized it. And that's what I sent to potential financial planners and advisors that I was interviewing. So somebody would say, I know I have someone, Helen, she's awesome. I would send Helen like a template email. Hey, Helen, my name is Tiffany, looking for a planner. Here is the doc. And like with like where I currently am and where I'd like to be, if you think that that you can help, I would love to set up an interview. And so I sent that. And what that did was it helped me to not leave things out, because as you're interviewing financial planners and advisors, you're going to want to share kind of like where you are in your goals. But I didn't always remember, oh, I forgot to tell this one that I'm working on this. And I forgot to tell that one that my husband is doing that. So with that doc, it helped me to be able to compare financial advisors apples to apples. The most helpful thing in finding your financial planner advisor, for me anyway, was creating that kind of like all money doc with that I sent out to people and use it as a stepping stone. So then when we got on the phone, we were discussing the same thing, which was this document. And like, yeah, you have to be all the way honest with your financial advisor, like the good, the bad, the ugly. And yeah, I just found it to be helpful. I am going to eventually, like I want to create a template. So obviously my information is not in there. I could pull out my numbers that people can kind of use and put in their numbers. So, because people ask all the time, how do I find a financial planner or advisor? And that was the first time I did that. And because I'd been looking for one for 5 years and just failing miserably. Every year I would have somebody and it wouldn't be a fit. And now that doc helped me to find who I have now. And she's an amazing fit. And I really credit it to that document.
Yeah. And I just found my financial planner through XY Planning Network, which I think is still around. And there's also the National Association of Personal Financial Planners. National Association is NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, it might be. And they only have fee-based planners, and you can put in your zip code and look around. Obviously, like personal referrals are awesome too. Asking around to friends, asking around to people who seem to have their lives together if they're using a planner. And definitely interview. We interviewed like 4 or 5 different people. And, you know, you want someone who's not going to talk about money first, who's going to ask you what your goals and your ambitions are and your, you know, what you're looking for, like Tiffany said, before you even sit down with someone. That's a really good sign. You've got someone with your, you know, best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. All right. Thank you guys for your questions. Again, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on the gram @brandambitionpodcast, or you can go to our website, brandambitionpodcast.com.
So this is this is a Drew Hill song, right? Are you gonna boost? Mm-mm. Or are you gonna break? Cause I'm gonna boost. Like that song. What song is that?
That's a song. Sounds like you're constipated.
It's somebody sleeping in my bed. Do you want him or do you want me? Cause I want you. Some of y'all are gonna be like, wow, Tiffany, that melody is not quite what Cisco was singing, but you know what I mean.
It's aggressive.
Are you going to break?
I'm going to keep it positive looking to 2020. I have a lot to boost, but I wanted to, obviously for the last 6 weeks, I have been tied to the house. I have not left at all. And I have been all up on my phone, taking advantage of all of the apps that make my life easier. So quick shout out to, first and foremost, Whole Foods delivery service. If you guys, you know, you have Whole Foods in your area and they deliver through Amazon Prime, I don't know how Amazon makes money, but they still do free delivery. And I can get groceries within 2 hours, 2 to 5 hours typically, like same day. And it has saved my butt in so many different ways. And maybe Whole Foods is a little bit more expensive, to be honest. Like, I never shopped there before they had this free shipping on Amazon, and it was so easy to shop online because it is a little bit more expensive. And I'm a Trader Joe's kind of girl. But Trader Joe's does not deliver, and I don't have time, nor can I even leave the house for longer than a couple hours. So shout out to Whole Foods Delivery. Shout out to Amazon Prime. And I mentioned them earlier, but I mentioned I was shopping for life insurance and I'm using a few different websites because, of course, you want to compare rates. So I'll just do a quick extra shout out for websites where you can compare not just life insurance, but other types of insurance too, like auto, renter's insurance, etc. So the sites that I've looked at are Value Penguin, Quote Wizard, and Policy Genius. And they're all basically using the same format. So it's fun. It's nice for me to kind of shop on all three and see what they give me back. So shouts out to anything that saves you time. And for any parents out there, if you guys have any tips on things that have made your life easier and have automated your lives or made it easier just to like function day to day, I am open to all of your advice, all of your tips and tricks. One thing that I've done is meal prep, my final boost. So my dad has been in town this weekend, so I took advantage. I made a crap ton of food for the week, and I ordered like Amazon sells these bulk kits of like, you know, divided BPA-free plastic containers and like, you know, three divided sections. And I'm just like packing them because the hardest thing is like even just bending over to microwaves because our microwave is down low, I've realized like just bending over with a baby in my arm is hard. So I'm trying to make things as easy so I am actually like fed myself and taken care of. So meal prep, Whole Foods delivery, you know, anything that I can do to make the day-to-day a little bit easier. And if you guys, like I said, have tips, holler at me.
No, I think that's got me. I always think, what do people do before you could like order everything?
Listen, it's like it's a curse. The internet has been a curse and a godsend for this entire 6 weeks. Let me tell you, at 3 a.m., you can really scare yourself into a frenzy thinking that either you're going to die or your baby, that bump on your baby's face is like something that's, you know, it's just, yes. So without the internet, I think this would be a little bit easier, but it'd also be a hell of a lot harder. So blessing and curse.
Well, I am going to boost. So I told myself I was going to make like fitness and like wellness overall, not like necessarily losing weight or whatever, although I could stand to lose 15. But I was going to make that like fitness to really be a priority for 2020. And how do I do that realistically for myself? And I don't know, out of the blue, like, so Superman has like, he commandeered the full basement as his quote unquote man cave. There's like an open section where like we have which I guess it was like the laundry room, but there's also like this big open space. And then there's a section behind a door, which is truly his man cave. And it's like where he watches movies and yada, yada, yada. So the open section, like he's like, oh, this is my game room, but there's nothing there but like one chair and a TV. I'm like, this is nothing. So I asked him in my wifely way, hey boo, can I have the section and turn it into I told him I wanted to buy a treadmill. And I was like, okay, I guess I can bring it upstairs. And he was like, no, that's not going to make sense on the hardwood floors. I knew that. I knew that. But I was waiting for him to offer his basement. And he was like, it should go to basement. I'm like, you know what? It should. So that's exactly where it is. And then slowly but surely, I started moving on in. I got like mats. And
does he realize what he just gave up? Because wasn't that your bargaining chip to get the designs that you wanted for the house? Was that he got the man cave? And now you're slowly, this is a wife. You are a wife.
I know.
Slowly taking it back.
I know. I'm like, and he's actually, I thought that he was going to be like pissed about it, but he actually, because he realized, like I said, it's good that this didn't happen in the beginning, but now that he's seeing like how he actually uses the house, he realized like, honestly, he doesn't use the other side. It's just open. There was nothing there. There was like some like two like IKEA, random IKEA office chairs from my old office. And he has a TV on the wall and like some of his console, like he's got like a PlayStation or whatever. But when I tell you, the only time he plays games are when we have kids over and he's showing them how to play games. So he's not really a game person. And the room wasn't big enough for a pool table, because with a pool table, you're supposed to have like, he really wanted a pool there, but you're supposed to have like 5 feet around each side, but it wasn't big enough for that. So it was just basically empty. So now I've got a treadmill down there and I've got mats. And I was like, how do I tell him I want to order more things? So I just showed him, like, I think we should get this rower. Look how cool it is. And he looked at me like, oh, here we go. So I ordered it. It's coming tomorrow.
Are you going to get a Peloton bike?
No, that because
I
you know what?
have
That's too.
been, I know it's hella expensive, but I have been honestly, because there's no way I'm going to the gym anymore. And I'm like, Peloton bike, you can put that in a corner.
And that I was like, people kept telling me that, but I said, and not to say I would never, but I figured, so I'll give you the breakdown of the cost of everything I bought. So it was in total $1,200, which I think is fair because that's about 2 years worth of my gym membership. I have an LA Fitness or one of these memberships. And I did the math and it was 2 years worth of memberships
Is
of
that
what I
like
wasn't using anyway.
brand new equipment, or did you go on
No,
Craigslist
brand new. So
or
I was
Facebook?
like, so yeah, the treadmill was $5.99. It's a Nordic Track, and it was like I got it from Amazon. It was like 5-star reviews, yada yada yada. I love it. The rower, it starts with a J, Jotto. I don't know. I'm not familiar. But either way, that was 5-star reviews, and I haven't gotten it yet. It comes tomorrow. And the rower was around 350, maybe like 355, 360. And then I wanted this dip station because I don't like doing abs on the floor because I'm the type of person that's always pulling at my neck and I don't know how to do them right. So there's a dip station. It's like this thing where, and I love it at the gym. You put your back against it, you put your like elbows like kind of like in an L position, and you're holding onto these like pole things, and you lift your feet up. And then you could also do pull-ups and all that kind of stuff, although I don't do all of that. But that's one of my favorite machines. And then I also got like some free weights. Like for Christmas, I asked for like a yoga mat and some like a jump rope and free weights. So all together, the dip station I think was like 150. So you figure $100 for like the mats and the free weights and stuff like that. 150 for the dip station, 350 for the rowing machine, and $600 for the treadmill. It was 12, about $1,200 is what the gym cost. And I did the math and I forget my membership. It was like maybe like $45 a month plus wherever. Is it LA Fitness? I don't remember. But one of these fitness places, they also charge like $100 like annual random fee. So after doing all the math, in 2 years, it's about 1280 is what that membership cost me. So I feel like having this home gym, and I've been going every morning. I told myself 20 minutes on the treadmill, like just do that. 20 minutes on the treadmill, stretch. That's it. And then I'll do that for a week, and I'll build on there. So I'm excited because I'm like, I have this gym. It's right downstairs. There's no excuses. Even if I miss a day or a week, I can easily get back because it's right downstairs. And for me, it was an investment that I'm happy about. So that is my boost. It's like really, I really want to invest in overall wellness. Yes, I would love to lose like 10, 15 pounds, but ultimately, that's not even what it's about. I just feel like I don't get enough movement. Like working from home, I'm sitting a lot. And so this is just a great space because what I found is that like I'll watch TV and sometimes like it'll be 30 minutes and I'm like, oh wow, because I've watched whatever, or I'll listen to a podcast. And what I really love is that when I wake up in the morning, I can look totally crazy going downstairs because at the gym you have to look reasonable. But like literally, I can have like lime green sweatpants, like a raggedy tank top with my sports bra, and my hair could still be in a bonnet, and I can go work out, and I keep my sneakers down there. So there's no resistance to working out because I don't have to leave. I don't have to get in a car. I don't have to warm up the car. I don't have to look cute. I just go downstairs. So yay! Hopefully you will. I don't know. I'm really happy about it. Like this morning, I was on the treadmill. Like, look at you, Tiffany, doing things.
I love the idea of a dip station, although I'm thinking like quesadillas, like guacamole, like some salsa. That's where I'm at. Some spinach and artichoke dip station. That's a whole different kind of dip station, but no, that's great. Good for you. Just feel good. And honestly, yeah, I don't like putting pressure. We've all fallen into that trap. The numbers, whether it's like, I'm gonna save $1 million this year, like probably you won't, or I'm gonna lose 100 pounds this year, like just one day at a time, people. One day
Yes,
at a
my goal is
time.
just to I should move every day. That's it. That's like that's if I can do that, like whatever movement looks like, I want to move every day. I don't always feel like going for a walk. Although I like walking, I don't always feel like it. So I'm like, well, you have a treadmill downstairs, get on it. You're gonna have a row or row. You have your mats, whatever, stretch. Like I want to get in purposeful physical activity every single day. And I feel like if I do that, like I look at my dad, he doesn't go to the gym or anything. He's 75, but since we were kids, he's always done like physical activity every day, whatever that might look like. And he's 75 and healthy and strong, and I want that for myself. And that comes from consistent effort, not these surges of effort. Like that's not where real change is made. Change is made in daily consistent effort. And typically it looks like small things. So if you can do that, if I can commit to 10, 20 minutes of small effort, then like your girl's gonna be good. Okay.
Love it. All right, we did it. We recorded a show. I have a baby and we did a show. We did it. Not at our usual time, but we did it.
That's okay. You know, I'm flexible. I'll take any whenever. That's our baby. What do you need me to do?
Right? I feel like we're co-parenting this child, co-scheduling. All right. Well, thank you guys again for all the love. And we will be back weekly. So wishing you all a happy and healthy new year and just happy to be back.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.